All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Live from the quarantine.
That's right, my man. How you holding up? Week four.
I got to tell you, I was going to mention this. I'm glad you asked, because I'm officially over it. Like, don't get me wrong. I was over it 4 or 5 weeks ago, but I feel like, for example, let me just paint a picture. I woke up this morning around 8, which in normal circumstances is pretty late for me. But lately it's been about the norm. But here's what happened today. I woke up around 8. I literally did not, for any substantial amount of time, leave the bed until like 1:30. It's true. I don't know if I should be ashamed or not, but it is. I'm just telling you the truth. That's all I can do is give it to you straight.
That's the quarantine norm,
I guess.
On the weekends, I've been getting up at like 7 or 8. Around 10 o'clock, I go back to the bed, and I'm there till mid afternoon. No big deal. Right. Got to pass the time somehow.
Oh my God. Well, I feel like my family's holding up pretty well. Everybody's in good spirits and we have a lot of fun. And, you know, Amy is just the best. She makes everything lots of fun. And she has like themed dinner parties for us. And Easter was amazing. But this morning, I feel like all four of us were in our own like little corners. Like, you know, I think, you know, we all get along really well and we're having all kinds of fun here, but like, it just felt like today all of us were like, this, we're done. Like, this sucks.
Yeah. I just started working from home partially.
Yeah. What's that like?
Insane. Like, I don't know. I'm going to tomorrow I'm probably going to crack. It's not going to take long for me to go crazy.
Why is that?
It's just, I don't know. Like, the no people, the being stuck. Like, I have a tinier apartment, so it's like I don't have, like, an office to go to. It's, like, also my living room. So when I'm off work, it's like, where do you go? Oh, wait, I'm already there.
Like, I'm already there. Boom.
And my kitchen's only 2 feet away in the other direction, so it's like, you know, it's not that far of a change. For thank goodness my bedroom's on the other side of the place, but I don't know. I'm glad that it's only partial, because I'm going to be the biggest chatty Cathy come Thursday. I'm just going to be like,
what's so when you say partial, you're working at home like 3 days a week and then going in the office 2 days a week or vice versa or something like that. Is that what you mean when you say partial?
Yeah, I'm at home 3 days and I'm working two days. So.
And what are they doing? They're sort of spreading out your office so that you're not all in there together?
No.
So everybody's working from home for 3 days and then everybody works together Thursday and Friday?
No. Only the high-risk people are allowed to work from home. And everyone else is just at work.
Oh, snap!
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it is.
So I don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry.
I know. It's a tough one because I don't want to work. I don't want to work from home. Like this is like. In this circumstance, like drives me. If I could leave in the evening or whatever, that'd be different. But the fact that I can't go anywhere outside of this, this is not my choice, but it's the correct choice health wise for me.
Right.
So is what it is. So,
all right, well, listen, before we switch over to full-on movie news,
yeah.
I just want to mark this as a good milestone day because I did read an article today in the Central Penn Business Journal that our governor of Pennsylvania is working with New York, Connecticut, Delaware, and somebody else, New Jersey, and they have a task force that includes an economic chief and a health chief and then a chief of staff from each of those states. And they're coordinating the plan for reopening. Now, I don't know if that'll be freaking August or November or next July or whatever.
Right.
But I'm just glad that, like, people are, you know, smart people are looking at this and starting to talk about a plan for coming back. Because this can't keep going on. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing, too, because it needs a plan. It's not like... They can just say, okay, everyone back at it. You know, we can't just bounce back like that. So,
right. So we'll use that segue to roll in my first piece of news that I have.
Okay.
It's funny because I typed in my news was June 19th is my current best hope for getting a new movie on the books with Soul and King of Staten Island set to open on June 19th. King of Staten Island it looks like a pretty tiny movie, but it's distributed by Universal, so I left it in there. That's the Pete Davidson Saturday Night Live guy. That's his semi-autobiographical movie. But as I was continuing to collect news for the show, I read a news story that says, oh, wait a minute, just kidding. Soul was bumped to November 20th with James Bond.
Wow.
So what that really means for us is that there are no major new releases until the end of July.
Wow.
So we're rolling in a 4th of July weekend with no new... Yeah.
Wow.
So how about that?
Independence Day, back at it.
As Will Hunting would say, how do you like them apples?
Wow. That's unprecedented.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit shocked.
Well, here's some good, equally unprecedented news.
Hit me.
The first look of Paul Atreides came out.
Oh, that's how is that not that? We're what, 5 minutes into the show?
We haven't talked about Dune yet. Dune news.
I wish our listeners could get a picture of you dancing. Moves.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
watch out. Timothy Chalamet.
That's my little Dune dance.
Whoa.
So I'm going to put a challenge out there I got musician friends.
Okay.
And I got one who I think does like soundbite stuff. I'm going to challenge him to cue us up a sound, a little button we can press between now and Dune's opening. So every time there's Dune news, there's like a little doo-doo-boop-bop,
doo-doo-bop-bop. I got the buttons here, you know?
I know.
Crowd's going wild.
We're ready. So, David... I mean, what did you think of the first look at Paul? How do you say it? Atreides. How did you like that look?
He looks fine because this is Paul Atreides on Caladan, which is really just the first chapter or two of the book. So it's not like the Paul Atreides that Paul Atreides, the hero or the main character yet. It's just Paul Atreides on his home planet. Caladan, which is like an ocean planet. Actually, the thing I took more from it rather than Timothy Chalamet as Paul Atreides, he just looks like a kid or a guy or whatever.
And that's
the look is fine. But what I was more interested was the background scenery of Caladan with the ships like flying in the background and stuff. That to me that was more interesting to see how they were visualizing the planet. And not just putting them next to a on a beach and being like, oh yeah, it's another planet. Just think about it. Sure. Like, do you know where that beach is? Probably not. So yeah, it's another planet.
What if it was the beach from Contact?
What if it was the beach from Avatar? Avatar 2, confirmed.
I hope it's the beach from Contact and Paul Atreides bumps into Jodie Foster.
I love it.
All right, what else we got?
Okay. Atomic Blonde.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Before we move on from Dune.
Yeah.
I also read an article, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think it was in the Hollywood Reporter that December, I think it's the 18th, is getting awfully full of tent poles. December of 2020 is getting full of massive movies, and there's some speculation. I don't want to say it, so cover your ears. I'll just tell our listeners that there's some speculation that Dune is risk for being bumped. Your thoughts on that?
They already pushed it back once. Right? They already pushed it back. Why not instead of bumping it forward, why not pull it back to my birthday where it belonged all along?
How about a 4th of July release?
What? We don't have to wait that long. I don't. It's another 6 months.
No. 4th of July of 2020.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not ready for that. It's not ready. Come on. Get out of here. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. So, I mean, we're asking you about Dune because you're you.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. Like, the November-December schedule is going to be packed.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to change things. Like, if they're going to expect less from these movies or if they're going to expect the same kind of turnout and still put out 7 million movies.
They're going to totally expect the same kind of turnout and put out 7 million movies.
That's crazy. Nobody's got enough screens to hold.
I bet you $100 that's where they go. Oof. Yep.
Oof. Do you think they're going to rush these out and then keep them in cinema for a long time? Or they're going to put them out and then have a quick turnaround to home video once they're out?
Well, I mean, that goes right to another story I wanted to talk about, which I forgot to put in show notes, but Trolls just came out and was the first essentially video on demand. It broke the record for the biggest video on demand opening, and, you know, Universal essentially, they're calling it an experiment video on demand, but I don't think that's fair. I don't think you can call it an experiment because it's totally, I mean, it's not, the environment in which this happened, hopefully, will never happen again, where the entire world is home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
More specifically, so, everyone's kids are at home.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single kid in the world is home. I saw some stunning statistic, like 85% of the world's children are home.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
That's insane.
Wow. That's insane. Anyway, so Trolls opened to this massive opening and they're trying to say how it sort of changed things. I don't know if I lack the intelligent horsepower to picture life after quarantine. But I feel like once we go back to the movies, it's going to be a weird 6 months. But I think once we are back, I think studios are so massive and they're going to have so much ground to gain that they will release movies as they always have. And I think there will be a little bit of extra pressure to bring video on demand. But like I've always said, they make more – there's just no two ways about it. They make more money with a theatrical release, and these massive corporations are about making money. I mean, we love them because we love the art of the movies, and I know they do too, but they're stakeholders. They're almost all publicly traded companies, and they need to make money, and the best way for them to make money is theatrical releases. So I don't think that they're going to screw up any theatrical releases. I will say there will be some pressure, especially on the smaller studios where – you know, the lifespan of a movie might only be 2 or 3 weeks. We might see video on demand 4 weeks out or 6 weeks out or something like that. You know, but, you know, just using it as a cliche example, Star Wars is still going to be making a ton of money 9 weeks into their run. They're not going to put Star Wars video on demand because they need to make their money back in the theaters.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, what kind of gimmicks they're going to have to get people – to see movies and stuff, and I can't help but wonder when we're going to start the go on a date with David gimmick for Penn Cinema. You know, after quarantine, everyone's going to be, you know, ready to and out play in the field. Why not put the option right out there in front of them?
I don't know if we can handle that kind of capacity, David.
That's true. That's true.
Why not set up to handle those kinds of numbers?
Yeah, food for thought, though. It's all, four locations, you know. Options
David
about.
For it. Hey, girl. Hey, girl.
All right. Back to the news. Atomic Blonde. You liked this movie, right?
I love this movie.
Right?
Yeah.
They're making an Atomic Blonde 2. Apparently, they're in the early stage of pre-production.
Okay.
For Netflix.
Yes.
I thought this movie was a hit. Like, I'm surprised it's not getting theatrical.
I am shocked to read this.
So I'm kind of...
Literally.
I'm curious if it'll be the type of sequel that doesn't even have... Who was it? Charlize Theron was the main character? Who was the...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, whoever played the Atomic Blonde.
Right.
I wonder if it's one of those things where it's not even her.
Oh, like Dumb and Dumberer?
Yeah. Like it's someone who kind of somewhat looks like her, but, you know.
Or are they like continuing the story with a different actress?
Right.
Yeah. That could be. I found that news surprising. I loved Atomic Blonde. I just thought it was so, like, you had to watch it the whole way to the very end. It was great action. I thought it was awesome. I don't know. I mean, for Netflix, here's a question, David. Is this going to be like they did with, I Heard You Paint Houses. What's the name of that movie?
The Irishman.
The Irishman.
I got it. I did it. It's me.
You fired up both of your brain cells. Yeah. You got them cranking.
You can hear.
I can hear the mouse on the wheel, like getting up from his nap, going, "Oh shit, David's thinking again." Wait, guys, David's thinking. Hang on, I gotta go to work.
Yeah. They could do it like that. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, because you know how shallow I am. There was a lot of good reasons to play The Irishman, but it was mostly because I really wanted to see it.
Right.
So if we get the chance to play Atomic Blonde 2 in the theaters, I'll definitely do it. Just because I want to see it.
I want to see it. All right. I follow.
I'm just being honest, just so you know who you're dealing with.
You got to give it up. Right.
That's it.
Right. What kind of news you got for me?
Well, did you hear about the pandemic that hit Lititz?
Oh, snap. This was all over the place. It took social media by a storm.
We went viral, David.
It was a total pandemic. Tell me about it. So, give me the details.
Well, we all had, you know, everybody and their brother, including me and our partners and Amy and the whole gang, everybody was saying, like, you know, once at the beginning, at the early stages of quarantine, when they shut the restaurants down, but they said the restaurants could still do takeout.
Right.
Everybody, we were all like, oh, well, we should sell popcorn because everybody's going to be home watching movies and watching TV. And, you know, we go through snacks. Like, I remember talking to somebody 3 or 4 days into the quarantine, and they were like, how's it going? And I'm like, well, I already finished the Pringles. Like, you know, I didn't see that coming. So we all, like, it's the kind of idea, like, it's a little bit of an obvious idea, but the reason why I'm saying that is to sort of lay the groundwork to say that it was Drew, our guy Drew Schaefer, who really like took this obvious idea and thought through, like, how do we make it happen? How can it work? How can we manage it in the back end, in the office? How do we connect with the customers without touching them? And, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I just want to give a big shout out and big kudos to Drew Schaefer. Drew thought the whole thing through, figured out all the details. And then when it came time, so what it is there's a website, the pandemic, or it's just called pandemic.com. And you go online, you order your popcorn and your candy, You could get a full bag or a half bag, get whatever candy you want, and then you pay for it online. And then there's little windows, like a two-hour window on a Friday afternoon. This week it's Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. And you swing by the theater and, you know, we ask you your name and you tell us, oh, it's, you know, David Moulton. And we go running inside the lobby. So there's Drew stands on the sidewalk with a tablet, checks the order in. And then there's a runner who runs back into the theater and picks up the order. It's a really neat process to see it happen. And frankly, it's a lot of fun to work it. We all said it felt like operationally it reminded us of a Star Wars opening or an Avengers opening or something like that, because the response was so massive that, I mean, the places, the lobby was absolutely trash. There was not a single customer in the place, but with popping literally hundreds of pounds of popcorn and serving all the candy, Drew and Lexi and Amy and I and Marley and Kayla and Bob and everybody who was helping, we all said, like, it feels like opening night. It feels like a premiere night, even though not a single customer stepped foot into the building. Not a single customer even got out of their cars. But it was really great to see everybody. It was really great to connect with people. We're going to keep doing it as long as it makes sense. It looks like that might be for a while because the first weekend sold out, and the second week, which is Thursday and Friday, I don't know if it's sold out yet, but it's awfully close. So we'll probably keep doing it, and it's a pop-up business, so you know, it might be a little bit different every week. It's not going to be like too predictable, but and then eventually we'll run out of popcorn.
right.
So you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But it was a big hit, and it was just a whole lot of fun. I will say, the hard part of it that we didn't really quite account for until we were like in the middle of it is it takes a long time to pop 150 pounds of popcorn. Like, we literally came to the theater. Drew was the first one in. He arrived at like 8 a.m. and we popped. We had both poppers going, the one in the main building and one in the IMAX building. We popped literally all day long. There was somebody at each popper making popcorn and putting it in yellow bags and making popcorn literally for hours on end. It was something to see. So that's the hard part. That's the part where it really took a lot of work. But like I said, Drew had it so well organized. Everything went great. It was so much fun. It was great to see the customers again and some of our friends. And so this week, Thursday and Friday, and we'll do it again next week. We'll keep doing it till we're back in business.
That's awesome.
That's it was awesome. Dope.
I'm a bit jealous. I can't eat the popcorn or I'd totally be all about it.
Oh, well, we have another element that we're doing now where, and I'm not trying to hit you up or anything, but I'm just saying, like, some people have said, like, hey, I don't really want the popcorn, but I want to support the theater. So I'm just going to buy some popcorn and then we want you to just give it to whoever you feel like giving it to.
Okay.
So we decided to formalize that. And I'm not sure if we're up and running with it yet or if we're going to do it next week. But we have been in contact with LGH and UPMC and some of the local hospitals where we're going to have an option where customers can buy a bag of popcorn for us to deliver to nurses that are on the front line doing the corona testing and all that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit of a social element to it as well, which is nice.
Very cool. Now, are you just doing this in Lititz or any of the other branches?
It's just in Lititz for now, but we're chomping at the bit. We have a few operational hurdles. It's one of those things that, like, it's kind of weird, and we want to do it a little bit and make sure we really know how to do it before we start asking some of our staff in other locations, you know, to experiment with it. So it's pretty tricky and really unusual. So, we will eventually get to the other locations, but we want to make sure we know what we're doing before we do that.
Gotcha. Very, very cool.
Well, I'm sure, man.
Keep us up to date on that. Something that I want to keep you up to date on is the untitled M. Night Shyamalan film that was scheduled for 2021 release has now been removed from Universal's schedule entirely. So
M. Night who?
Shyamalan Ding Dong?
Shyamalan. I wonder how you say that.
Shyamalan. I'm
always just so happy to say Shyamalama Ding Dong. But I wonder, remember that guy?
Shyamalan. Shyamalan is, I think, how you say it.
Shyamalan?
Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Okay. So is he the least respected filmmaker in all of Hollywood?
No.
He always gets shit on. He what?
He's no Uwe Boll. Right? I mean, come on.
He's no Elizabeth Banks, that's for sure.
Shots fired. Boop, 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 boop.
I don't know. This story makes me sad, not because I really give a shit about whatever release we're talking about here, but just because I love his movies, and I feel like he's beginning to slide down the backside of, you know, like, are his best days behind him? I don't know. I'm rooting for the guy. I haven't really loved any of his work in years. I've been happy with some of it, like fine. Didn't he do Glass?
Yeah.
Glass was good. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. He reminds me of a quarterback in football who's like won a Super Bowl early in his career. And he's still like respected and he's great and everything, but he's not what he used to be. And now he's not even making the playoffs. And now he got benched and it's just, you know.
Yeah. I think that he got, I agree with what you're saying, but then I think he had a resurgence with Glass and then he was put onto like a bunch of stuff. Like he's got the TV show on Apple. Is it the servant or whatever? And then he was like all of a sudden had these multi-movie deals set up, but with nothing like behind them. Just like, oh, he's going to do three movies for us, like Universal type thing, and no like set. Oh, he's doing this movie or this. We just signed him up. We're going to get him.
Right.
I think he stretched himself far and wide.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of seeing they're kind of like, well, pull back.
Podcast at Penn Cinema, if we are being too hard, and also, what has M. Night done for us lately? Convince me. Tell me that he's done something good lately.
Oh, snap. All right. Hit me with some of your hard-hitting news.
Okay, well, this next piece, I especially am happy to report for our friend and devoted listener, the Mystery Gobble.
Oh, okay.
Director Cary Fukunaga confirmed. Yeah, no, that's how you say it. Fuk. It's definitely Fuk. It's not the other way.
Fukunaga?
Fukunaga confirmed that he will no longer tinker tailor Soldier Spy with No Time to Die before its release in November.
I love this.
I do too. I think this makes me so happy. The people who should be tinkering with No Time to Die is the marketing department.
Yeah.
Right. The people whose job it is to sell this movie, great. You need a whole new ad campaign. You need to somehow acknowledge the fact that this movie was supposed to open up 7 months earlier.
That there apparently was plenty of time to die.
Right. So the marketing team has a lot of work to do, but I'm really happy that director Cary has confirmed that he will not mess with the movie because supposedly it was done. You know, if you remember, I think the screening had almost been set. I don't think it was set yet, but it was almost set. And we were that close to the opening when they pulled it. So anyway, I take that as good news. Happy to report No Time to Die is safe and confirmed November 20th.
I love it. I'm glad to hear it. I'm hoping that they're treating like Birds of Prey the same way, you know?
What you got?
Not Birds of Prey. Black Widow. Oh, my word.
I do hope Black Widow is the same.
Yeah. But
We haven't heard anything about Black Widow.
No, I saw some like new screenshots of it today, and I was like, why? Like, are they even screenshots? I mean, the movies should be done. Like, these are the best things. These are the best like shots that are coming out of it. But, yeah.
But I wonder if there's going to be a lot of anxiety around some of these releases, like with pirating, you know, with leaking, you know, the actual content.
Ooh, I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
So, Birds of Prey.
Speaking of Black Widow.
I think Birds of Prey was kind of like, are we in agree? Was it a hit or was it a flop?
I'm going to say it was neither. I think we don't have to label it a hit or a flop. What I will say is that it was not a hit. It was not a massive, like, you know, oh, this was amazing. But I think it was a solid. It did well. It did not do great, but it did not. I would not say it was a flop, and I would not say it was a hit. I would say it was right down the middle.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I wouldn't say that it was. Because I thought it was fine. I just didn't think it was great. I thought it was just fine. Wasn't like I hated it like Suicide Squad. Anyway, the director Kathy Yan said she hopes to explore Harley Quinn's relationship with Poison Ivy in a potential sequel. Now, what I took from that was they're talking about making a sequel to this. And then I'm like, why would they call it Birds of Prey again? Because really, it's a Harley Quinn movie. I mean, they even changed the name after it released.
Right.
So why even? Because the Birds of Prey don't even team up until the last like 20 minutes.
Right. Well, was Birds of Prey an origin story, and now they need to go have an adventure together? I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, but the Birds of Prey don't include Harley Quinn.
Oh, that's right. Well, so what?
Yeah. But the whole thing is that she wants in the sequel to have Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy's relationship explored.
Okay.
So
I get the fact that Birds of Prey does not include Harley Quinn in a technical sense.
Right.
Right. Because she took off, she ran away, left them all at the coffee shop sipping their lattes with their pinkies out. And then ding. And then, but in a storytelling way, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can't tell a story without Harley Quinn. So in a way, I still stand by my previous comment that I think it would be cool if Birds of Prey was treated as if it was an origin story. And I could see like a cool sequel that was like, you know, Birds of Prey, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got another thing here on the news factor.
Oh, thank God.
This is one I know that you've been stressing about.
I was up all night thinking about this one.
New Mutants. What are they going to do with it? Why isn't it on streaming? Why didn't they just release it while no theaters are opened? What's going on? Turns out they've already paid the money to release it or whatever. They're contractually obligated to put it in theaters at this point, which is why it's not gone to streaming service. And then it's like, and then even if they were going to go to streaming service, HBO currently has the streaming rights for it. Because they purchased the streaming rights before Disney purchased Fox. So there'd be a big thing about that. So we'll just have to wait. It's just gonna
it's not funny. You're not creating an opportunity for me to laugh, but it's interesting. I mean that's very interesting. It's fascinating how it reminds me a little bit of when we were talking about Four Walls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how, like some people, like some movie makers have the contracts done and they, it doesn't really matter, but like they have to show it in a movie theater. It doesn't matter if I play it once a day or twice a day, but if I stick it in my smallest theater that nobody goes to and play it twice a day, then they're contractually satisfied. Right. So that's interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised if this turned out to be a four-wall type thing where they just threw it out in a couple theaters and then they were like, we did it, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, or they might try, you know, Hollywood has an incredible ability to take itself seriously even when they're talking about a piece of shit, and they might do like, you know, an exclusive premiere in New York City and Los Angeles only.
Yeah.
You know, buy now, and you can exclusively see this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Try to make it out like it's part of a marketing campaign to promote the streaming premiere the following month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay. You have any other news? Or are we wrapped up?
No, I got no news, and I didn't see either of these trailers.
Okay. All right, so this is going to work out because I didn't watch either of the movies. So, yeah, it works. I mean, I've seen Face Off several times.
It's like I said in the Facebook post a couple weeks ago, all this and so much less.
Exactly. So I found two trailers, right? One's an actual new trailer. It's called the Documentary for the Recently Deceased, The Making of Beetlejuice. And if you like Beetlejuice, or if you're like me and you're just like, whatever, I say still check out the trailer because I thought it was really fascinating to look at how they kind of rolled in on this town and they were just like, can we film here? And the people in the town were like, I'm sorry, what? And then they just kind of took over this town for a little while and made it into the Beetlejuice set. So, I mean, I always thought because of how colorful and fantabulous it was that it was all a set, like in Hollywood, you know, just looked like it was a town. But here it was this actual town, and even in the trailer, they talk about how they had to bring in these 1-ton bricks to dam up the 2-foot creek so that it was 6 feet deep, so that they could run a car off the bridge into it. And it kept storming, and the storm kept pushing the 1-ton bricks away. So every day they'd have to come in with the crane and restack them, and then wait for the river to like raise up again. So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. If you like the way film's made, I think it's going to be an interesting thing. Now, from what I understand, it's being put out, like it's being produced on their own website. It's not streaming anywhere. It doesn't have a theatrical release, but so it's not like a wide thing, but you have to go to their website, which I didn't quite click that. Just Google Documentary for the Recently Deceased. It'll come up.
Okay.
And then cool. There's the other one, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. I almost tweeted it to you or texted it to you. It's Star Wars Episodes, Star Wars Episode 7 trailer, the George Lucas Special Edition. This actually came out the day after the first trailer came out. I'm only just now finding it. And it's a guy who took the first trailer and just added like every conceivable Star Wars like special effect in like overlaid. Like we're talking like CGI monsters like walking in front of the characters looking at the screen. and when Finn's in the desert, there's like a ton of stormtroopers on dewbacks in the background. And when there was only one TIE fighter, there's now 50 of them. It's just the way that he's like, oh, I just feel like Lucas would just never stop tinkering with it. And he just keep throwing this stuff in. So if you're up for a good 2-minute laugh, that's good for you. So
nothing on episode 8.
Nah, what?
What was that one called? What,
you know what? I had people in another conversation who were trying to get me to say the name of that movie, and I fell for it. They were like, yeah, we got it. And I was like, ah.
Good for you. Good for you, listeners.
Can't believe it. So, all right. So,
we should have to be a new weekly segment. I'm going to start a new weekly segment next week. I'll have to think of a good one. And it'll be like this week's magic word. Try to get David to say pineapple.
It'd be like Pee Wee Herman.
Right. Yeah. Except less busy.
All right.
So are we ready for movie review?
Yeah.
This was a good week.
Okay. All right. Now, I watched a Face Off in the past. I've seen it several, many times. hold on. Let me put my pinky out and just stretch this one out here. And I actually read the book, the novelization, before it came out in theaters. And I wrote a book report on it in whatever grade that was. And yeah.
David, that's the saddest thing you've ever told me.
I remember the book being so good, and then I was hyped for the movie, and I watched the movie, and I was like, oh. It's not how I expected it was going to be.
I think you might be the only person in America that knew there was a book called Face Off.
I think I still have it. And it's not like, I don't know if it was a book pre-movie, but the version of the book I have has the movie cover.
Yeah, so, I love when they do that.
Yeah.
Tricky into reading a book.
Right, yeah.
I could just go and watch it on TV.
You wised up on that a long time ago. So you don't read
oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so which one of these are we going to talk about first?
Well, let's roll right into Face Off, as long as we're already talking about it. Face Off came out in 1997, starring Nicolas Cage. It was directed by John Woo, and also there was John Travolta in it. Isn't it? When we talk about this movie, when I think about this movie, I always think about it, I always just think it's a Nicolas Cage movie.
Because he crazy faces, I'm going to take your face off.
Right. I feel like if it was a comedy, Nicolas Cage would be the funny one and Travolta would be the straight guy.
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But
I also thought it was funny. I was trying to look up some stuff about it, and you know how on IMDb there's all kinds of plot keywords like mafia or space aliens, yeah, or you know, wartime or love story or something like that.
Or
the plot keyword for Face Off is facial transplant. And I did not click on it, but I was wondering to myself, like, I wonder if there's a lot of other movies that have facial transplant as their, plot keyword.
And what did you find?
I didn't find anything.
It's the only one.
There was a TV show called Facial Transplants in 2015, but I was not aware of that show. And I was also made aware that there were keywords for fecal transplants.
Cool question mark? I don't know how to respond to that one.
The interweb is a terrible thing. I don't know. All right. So wait, what are you telling me? Because I saw Face Off in the theaters when it came out in 1997.
Same.
And I bet you I watched it at least once since then, maybe twice.
Oh.
But I haven't watched it in years. Recently rewatched it. Did you rewatch it for the show, or are you just commenting on it from your memory?
From memory, but I've seen it many times. I think we may have even had the tape.
Gotcha.
Maybe. If we didn't have the tape, it was definitely one of those movies that my friends and I rented for a good laugh, like from Blockbuster. Because it's one of those ridiculous action films. Not in a good way. Like in the kind of way where you're like, oh, this is insane. Let's laugh about it later.
Do you remember how we got started talking about this movie last week?
No, I don't. Oh, from Moonstruck?
We got started talking about it because we watched Moonstruck, in which Nicolas Cage was really, really good. And, you know, a couple times you saw in Moonstruck, a couple times you saw glimpses of yeah, crazy eyes. But for the most part, he was really acting. And in Face Off, it's just crazy eyes the whole time. So I have a question for you and for our listeners. What's better, Face Off or Con Air? Do you remember Con Air?
Yeah, I remember Con Air, which is equally, like, off the charts ridiculous.
Right.
I think Con Air might be a better movie, though.
All right, well, here's what I want to say. I don't know if it's a better movie or not. I was just throwing that out there because I thought it was funny that I feel like the two have a lot in common. But I did rewatch Face Off, and yes, it's ridiculous. I will like when you're doing a math equation and it's like you have to like spell out the givens, you know, or like a defense attorney, like we will accept, you know. So with all that being said, I think Face Off is better. It does not deserve to be ridiculed the way history has ridiculed it. I think it's crazy. It's insane. I'm not even saying it's like a great movie or whatever, but that you forget about in between all the action eyes, like there's some crazy, there's some crazy action sequences.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's, I mean, anytime you run a plane, a big jumbo jet into a building, like I, you know, unless you're a terrorist, that, that makes great movie making. That's wild.
It's John Woo. It's he does what he does, you know? And in the 90s, yeah. He was top of the game. Pigeons,
yeah.
Slow-mo pigeons all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was better than we give it credit for. I'm not saying it's on, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to get emotional and say I rediscovered or, you know, fell back in love with it or anything like that. But I just thought it was, I thought it was good.
Now, do you think that John Travolta and... Nicolas Cage have the same body type enough that you could take one of their faces off and put it onto the other person and you would conceivably think that this is that person?
David.
Hold on. Hello? Yeah? I wish my fingers would have been fast enough to capture that screen. How close he just got to the camera.
You're being ridiculous. Here's the thing.
Am I?
Yes. Here's why. You just blew my mind because here's the analogy, right?
Uh-huh.
You remember that guy? It was a newspaper reporter, and he wore the glasses.
Yeah, Clark.
Yes.
He's a real well-known guy. I would always recognize him.
He would take his glasses off and go fight crime.
Nah.
And then when he came back,
you're thinking
he would
Superman.
Put his glasses on and nobody could recognize him.
No, you're thinking that was Superman who fought crime. Clark wears glasses. Superman doesn't. It's easy to tell him apart.
I'm just saying. No. Of course, the facial transplant does not – automatically
add body weight or take it away.
If we're going to tolerate Clark Kent's glasses, then we're going to tolerate.
All right. I'll give it to you.
All right. Short-term 12.
Okay.
Excuse me. Short-term 12 came out in 2013. This was recommended to us. Forget who. One of our listeners.
Yeah.
And they recommended it because it starred my girl Brie Larson, and I think they were also interested because of my background in some social work and working with mental health mentoring. Back then it was MHMR. Now I understand it's behavioral something. Anyway, Short Term 12 came out in 2013. We already said it starred Brie Larson, but it also starred co-starred Caitlin Dever, one of the two leads from Booksmart.
Oh, okay.
And also Rami Malek.
Really?
Yeah, the guy that played Queen. What was his name?
Eddie.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury,
right. So anyway, so my point is, it was a really pleasant surprise for me when this movie started, rolling along. Like, I realized, like, this cast was incredible. And what was fascinating about it, so first of all, let me start at the 10,000 foot level.
Okay.
This is an amazing movie.
It's a heavy movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't watch it, right?
I didn't get a chance to. You'd think I'd have all this time, but I didn't.
No, I hear you. Tell me about it. But this movie is a great movie. It is heavy, but it stops short of being unbearable.
Okay.
Right? I mean, it's not like I can't think of the most depressing movie ever, but it's heavy, but it's not depressing. But it's intense because we know that people live through awful shit. You know, and what this movie is it's a story about, it's not quite a group home, but it sort of is. It's a group home where they're not allowed to leave. And Brie Larson plays one of the counselors, and Rami Malek plays another one of the counselors and their line staff, and they interact with the patients. And of course, a fascinating part of the story is Brie Larson's character's own background as someone who has also been abused, much like most of the patients in there. And so there's a lot of stories, storylines around abuse and recovery and the scars that stay with people through their entire adult life as a result of childhood trauma. And I thought the movie did a beautiful job of addressing that without dumbing it down or shying away or oversimplifying it or anything like that. I thought it was really well done. I was very, very moved. Of course, the acting, as you can imagine, is amazing. But the script and everything about it, the storyline, very realistic. It doesn't sort of glamorize, you know, mental illness or, you know, anything along those lines. I just thought it was brilliant. And there's a few storylines about people who with self-harm, stuff like that. I just thought it was a brilliant movie. It was heavy, but I thought it was absolutely beautiful. The storyline around Brie Larson is the best part. Her struggle as someone who's a survivor, but also working to help people who are trying to become survivors. And like so many in social work, I mean, a lot of people come to the field of social work bringing their own, you know, background. And I just thought it was great. Great movie. I highly recommend it. Put it that way.
Everyone I talked to about this movie also highly recommended it, but and they all said it's heavy. It's real heavy. But that it was really good and worth your time. So it's definitely going on my list. Where were you able to find it?
Was it streaming? I think Prime. I mean, I found it first. I think it was Amazon Prime. It came right up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll have to check it out for sure. So very cool. Very cool.
Well, and I want to skip ahead just a tiny bit because when I was done with Short Term 12, I was clicking through looking at some of the other like similar type of movies, and it came across Lady Bird with Saoirse Ronan and Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
Timothée from Dune, Chalamet.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Right. Yeah, well,
connections, and, you know.
And Lady Bird was, if we haven't seen that, it was a Greta Gerwig that she wrote and directed. And the whole thing sort of like, I'm watching Short Term 12 and I'm picturing Brie Larson. I'm picturing Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm looking at Rami Malek and I'm picturing Freddie Mercury and all these, you know, people that do like, I think this is new to the age of Hollywood that we're in now, which is these people who do blockbusters and then also do smaller, more touching, you know, sort of beautiful movies in the interim. I'm not sure. Did that happen in the 80s? Like, was Harrison Ford in between Indiana Jones and stuff? Was he making? I don't think so.
Well,
a little later, as he was later, coming out of all those action movies.
Yeah. Not that I can think of, no.
Yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend both Short Term 12 and also Lady Bird, as, you know, they're not action, they're not our typical movie that we sort of talk about typically on the show, but they're both beautiful, beautiful movies. Wow. So.
Very cool.
All right,
so moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, and recommendations. We put the call out last week, and I want to just reiterate this week. If you have something you're interested in or whatever this that you're doing during quarantine, like let us know, podcast@penncinema.com. So we got a quick list here from Jason Glatfelter. I want to know of these which ones you've heard of because I only heard of a handful of them. He says he's been watching this list here. The Basement, because he's got a friend in it who plays the main character. Coffee and Kareem, Life After Beth, Sleeping with Other People, The Invitation, Creep and Creep 2, Hush, and The Gift. How many of these have you heard of? Because these are some, like, I've heard of Life After Beth, I've heard of Sleeping with Other People, Creep and Creep 2. Maybe The Gift?
If The Gift is the one with Michael Douglas, then I've heard of that one. No, that's The Game.
That's the game.
I did. Yes, I did hear the. Yes, I think we played The Gift at Penn Cinema. I think The Gift is relatively. I think it's a horror movie.
Yeah, like those last couple, I think, are horror movies. It starts off kind of.
So let me say this, our boy Jason.
Yeah.
AKA Goonies Jason.
Oh.
Goonies Jason, his favorite movie of all time is Goonies, and if you want to question whether or not it's true, all you got to do is check out his sweet tattoo on his forearm of Goonies. It's lit.
Is it the truffle shuffle right there on his arm?
It literally, I mean, I kind of forget the details, but it's literally like it says the Goonies, and it's literally like from the poster, like that, like almost like logo is the wrong word, but it's, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Very cool. My point is, I know Jason, and I know that he is a hardcore movie guy with great taste in movies, and I've not heard of most of these movies, but I'm definitely going to be watching these.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to see what some of these are, because I'm kind of curious. Like, I remember hearing about Life After Beth and Sleeping With Other People, but I can't remember what they're about or anything like that. So,
you know, I like a good horror movie every now and then, like one that has been recommended to me. Mm. Like, if somebody, like, I think there's a couple on this list. I've never seen Creep or Creep 2.
Yeah, me either.
I think they'd be fun. I'm going to check them out. Yeah.
All right, so we also heard from Ron Klopp. He said, "This is giving me a reason to finally start watching Parks and Rec and other shows that have been postponing this," meaning the quarantine. He said, "Some movie review recommendations that I can give that I think would be fun to do, and one would be John Carpenter's The Thing. It's one of his favorite movies, as well as Good Will Hunting." So he's put those two up as potential views for the podcast.
Yeah, so I read this email and tried to watch John Carpenter's The Thing, and I couldn't really find it. I think I found somewhere that I could buy it. I'm gonna keep looking, and maybe I'll go ahead and buy it, or, you know, rent it, pay $4 to watch it or something like that. But Good Will Hunting, I think, you know, is one of my top three movies.
Right, and it's a classic. You quote it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you're listening to the Penn Cinema podcast and you have not seen Good Will Hunting, fix that.
Get on it. Get on it.
Yeah. So, fix that.
Hit me with another one here.
I have to say, this one made me LOL. I know we have a note from LOL Jamie, but this one from Jordan also made me LOL.
Yeah, me too. Which was,
he said, "I was listening to another podcast, and the host..." Wait a minute. He was listening to another podcast? Besides our... Mm. When you're done finishing listening to our podcast... My understanding was that you went over and listened to it again.
You started back at one.
You start back at one. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so Jordan was listening to another podcast, and the host signed off by saying, "Take care." He went on, Jordan said, "I instinctively was waiting for her to follow up with, and party on. Well, the show just ended, and I was left with an incomplete feeling of disappointment. It is clear that Cheryl Strayed does not party, and I can never hear the phrase 'take care' again without whispering 'and party on.'" Thanks. This is the best part. This is my favorite part of the whole email. "Thanks for ruining an otherwise endearing saying in these troubled times." That's great.
Mission complete.
First of all, he's got the big FU at the end, but then just, I love how he sticks in these troubled times. I think that was a shot at me right there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, when I sent you the link for our stuff last week, I wrote out a whole thing of like these troubled times, and like, and I got nothing out of you. Nothing.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I didn't reply, but I did LOL, and when you sent that, and I think that for the good of our friends, I should cut and paste that into our Facebook page, because your email was also a master class in off pen.
All right. We got one from
speaking of LOLs, yeah. Our final listener's note this week is from LOL Jamie, who once again had me LOLing when she wrote, "How is Penn able to get away with reading only The Dune, when I'm somehow committed to reading every single book in this series for the next 20 years.
All right.
And I got one response for you. I don't know, man. I'm not asking any questions.
It's been what, like a year and you've gotten one chapter in? Can you imagine
64 weeks.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I was like, Penn, start chronologically at the beginning. There's only 9 books till you get to Dune. You would have been like, what? Never doing it. Yeah.
Well, you know Jamie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is she a reader? Like, does she read a lot?
She does. That's the thing. And she's actually really liking the Dune books, but she got to like... what is she, like 7 in or whatever? And she just kind of like trailed off. And I'm like, you're not even Dune yet. Come on. And she's like,
that's 7 freaking books.
She got upset because here's the thing. I own multiple copies of every single book in the 20-some book series, right? And I only lend out usually the soft covers. Unless I have multiple hardcovers, like I do with Dune. The original. Right. So she got upset because she got to, there are only 3 books that I don't have soft covers for. And she was like, oh, well now what? And I was like, I guess you'll have to get it from the library. And she's like, what? I'm not doing that. No way. How do you not have this to lend it to me?
And so that's, oh my God.
So, yeah.
I'm dying.
But she's been enjoying it. She's been listening, going back and listening to, the Dune Saga podcast along with it.
You know what, David?
What?
Really? What? She should be thanking you.
Yeah.
She should be thanking you. You have given her 20 years worth of reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a gift, really, is what it is.
Yeah. It's not my fault she wants to drag out the 20 to 40. That's her own choice. All right.
All right.
So we want to hear, of course, what you have to say. So podcast@penncinema.com so we can have a good laugh. Let's move on to what are you reading, what are you watching, what are you doing this week? I hit a social slump where my lack of interaction with people has caused me to be bored with everything at all times. So I have not been able to take in TV, movies. Like, I just can't concentrate, can't anything. All I've been doing is looking at memes and looking at YouTube. And I got to tell you, I hate it, but I've been playing Animal Crossing. You heard about this?
No.
Well, don't. Because I don't like the game, but I can't stop playing it. And apparently neither can anyone else that's stuck at home, you know, in my age bracket. So there you go.
Marley has the same problem with the Kardashians game.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I hate this game. She played it when she was a kid, and then a few days ago she started playing it again, and all she does is complain about how she can't stop playing it.
Yeah, that's, I'm like, this game is so, there's no point. What am I doing? And then I'm like, you know what? If I chop down one more tree, I can make a really cool chair.
And then
that's it. Yeah. So what have you been doing?
All right. Well, I think we discussed last week my discovery that you can watch YouTube on the TV, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I also have been watching a lot of YouTube, a lot of fascinating running documentaries. I watched a documentary today about a guy who ran 200 miles circumnavigating the Alps down by the Matterhorn.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty dope. Yep, very cool. Anyway, so what I've been watching, the girls and I, we finished, what did we finish? I forget what we finished, but we switched over to Reba. Oh, we finished Veep, and then we switched over Reba. You remember that show, Reba? Yeah. Did you ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not the target audience, but it's, you know, it's a good show, and it's...
Pardon? I'm not, listen, what?
That's why we like Reba. Our family... You know, we do some stuff together during the day, and then we sort of drift apart, and then we do other stuff together, and then we have dinner, and sometimes we play games, and sometimes we watch a movie together. But at the end of the night, we always, all four, end up in the living room, and that's when we watch, like, whatever show we're in the middle of. So Reba is, like, the perfect movie, like, or a show for, like, end of the day. It's totally stupid. It's corny. It's easy. You know, it's there's no stress. There's no worry. It's worth a cheap laugh. But we have switched from Reba now over to Dead to Me because we were all excited. You familiar with this show
with
Christina Applegate?
Yeah,
so season two comes out on May 8th.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. So we started rewatching season two. We also watched the series finale from Modern Family, which we all thought was like, whatever. We loved Modern Family back in the day, and I think we're just like everybody else in the world where we agree that it got worse over time. And I just put on here because we were talking about Atomic Blonde. I did watch Anna again, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, so that's what I'm up to.
What are we going to watch this week? What movie or movies are we going to put on the list that I potentially will or will not watch and you potentially will or will not watch?
All this and so much less.
So much less.
You got a suggestion?
Okay. Do you want to? I you can pick. I'm not gonna tell you what they are, but you can pick one or two. Right. Do you want these are? You want a based on a true story, or super depressing, moving movie?
Well, I definitely don't want depressing. So hit me with the true story.
Motorcycle Diaries.
Motorcycle Diaries.
Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
Nope.
It's one of my all-time top two, maybe top three films.
Really? Mm-hmm. And we've gone 64 weeks without ever talking about it.
I don't think we've ever talked about my all-times.
Okay, hit us.
We got, because in no particular order, 25th Hour. You ever seen that?
Which one?
The 25th Hour.
No, never did.
Motorcycle Diaries. And then Interstellar.
Oh, I love Interstellar.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right. Well, Motorcycle Diaries it is. We'll watch that, and we'll let you review it next week, and I'll chime in with some sarcastic comments. And
yeah, it might be difficult because it's subtitled, so, you'll probably – you can just zone out.
Steven, was I or was I not the number one cheerleader for Parasite from the earliest days
it
came out?
That's true. My bad.
I'm not scared of captions. I'm not scared of captions.
You won't read a book, but you'll read a picture.
Books got the, you gotta hold it. You gotta turn the page. You know, it's heavy. And
like
a
book that's
like
moving for you, right?
Yeah. How are you supposed to hold your coffee? You got the book in one hand, your coffee in the other hand, and you spill the coffee. It's a holy thing,
Oh man, that's too difficult.
I actually am reading a book, and I want to tell it to you about it just to piss you off.
Because it's not Dune. Come on.
It's called The Ultimate Guide to Ultra Running by Jason Koop.
Of course it is. You could have been like, I'm reading a book, and I'd be like, it's the ultimate super mega running and then also cycling while I swim upside down extreme sports magazine. Like, volume 3.
and you would have been swimming like, upside down part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh my God.
All right. So, we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're doing, movie suggestions, all that sorts of stuff. Make us laugh if you can. That's always fun. Podcast.
Snarky comments. Do we take snarky comments, David?
Snarky comments go right to the top.
They're the best.
They're the best. Yeah. If you can make us laugh while making fun of us, bonus points. It's not hard. It's a low bar, but it's great.
Thanks for ruining an otherwise endearing saying in these troubled times.
So, best way to help support us is tell your friends that are also stuck at home, hey, what are you doing with your time? And when they're like, oh, I'm kind of bored, kind of just watching Tiger King or or whatever, you say, stop what you're doing right now and listen to the Penn Cinema podcast. Support podcast people or whatever. Yeah. So
or you could like text your friend and be like, hey, what'd you think of this week's Penn Cinema podcast? And they'll be like, what? And then you can just make fun of them endlessly for being such a loser.
For having not listened. That's what I do. And they'd be like, we get it. You want us to listen to your show. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize you got it. All right. Once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.